Hi, this is Paul Clements. I work at the Software Engineering Institute, and this is a little talk about documenting software architectures. As software architecture has become more and more important in the construction of large-scale software systems, how you write down, capture, and communicate the architecture has also become an issue that's become very important as well, almost as important as creating the architecture. After all, if you can't communicate the architecture to its stakeholders, such as the implementers or the customers or the users or the analysts, then you can create the best architecture in the world, but it won't have helped because people won't be able to understand it. So documenting an architecture, pretty important piece of work. At the SEI, we've done a lot of work in trying to understand best ways and good practices to document software architectures. It's taken us several years to get what we think is a set of good industrial strength practices down. And we've distilled this information. We've published a book about it. It's called Documenting Software Architectures, Views and Beyond. And we've also got a two-day course in our architecture curriculum about it. And this little talk is going to be about a 10-minute version of the two-day course. First of all, I hope it's clear why we want to document an architecture. Architecture serves as the blueprint for the system and also the project that develops the system. It specifies the structures that are important in both the system and the developing organization, defines the work assignment. Software architecture is the primary carrier of quality attributes of a system. This blueprint needs to be understood if it's going to be carried out. And I believe that documentation also helps the architecting process itself. That is, it's not just something we want to do after the fact. I believe that capturing the architecture as we create it makes for a much higher quality architecture and actually helps the architect as well. So, how should we document a software architecture? Well, we take a view-based approach. That is, we say that an architecture is a multidimensional construct. It's too involved to be seen all at once. Systems are composed of many structures simultaneously. There are module structures and component-based structures and process structures and deployment structures. And views let us capture these various dimensions of a system and write them down so that people can understand these various dimensions. Views are representations, if you like, of structures. We use them to manage complexity inherent in an architecture by separating the concerns. Views have a long and distinguished history, I think, and pedigree in software architecture. So I think they date from an observation in 1974 by Parnas that software is composed of many structures. In 1992, Duane Perry and Alexander Wolf wrote an influential paper that said that architectures, just like buildings with their different kinds of blueprints, needed different views of a system to show to different stakeholders and to achieve different qualities. In 1995, Philippe Christian proposed his 4+1 views approach to software architecture. And in the year 2000, ANSI IEEE adopted the 1471 standard, which prescribed a view-based approach to architecture documentation. So pretty much everybody who's doing this these days says that you ought to have views and use those to document your software architecture. So we take a view then as a representation of a particular structure. So to put it more formally, a view is a representation of a set of system elements and the relations associated with those. Not all system elements, just some of them, certain kinds. We're going to consider different kinds of elements one at a time and construct the structures or reenact or recreate the structures associated with those particular element types. So for instance, when we see a box and line diagram, somebody's trying to show us a particular view of a system, and it's always important to ask the creator of that diagram, what do the boxes mean and what do the lines mean? And what we're really asking when we ask that question is, what element types and relation types are you showing? In other words, what view are you showing of the architecture? Views give us our basic principle of architecture documentation. We think that documenting a software architecture is a matter of documenting the relevant views and then adding information that applies to more than one view. So there you go. If you can do that, you can document an architecture. Document the relevant views, and then document the information that applies across views, or as we say, beyond views. Well, that of course begs the question, which views should you use? There are many authors out there who prescribe a fixed set of views. Christian's 4+1 prescription is probably the best known, but there are others. There's the Siemens 4-view approach proposed by Sony, Nord, and Hoffmeister. The Software Cost Reduction Project of the United States Navy back in the 1980s proposed a set of 3 different views. Architectures I'm sorry, architects at Phillips prescribe a set of 5 different views, including things called the customer view, the application view, the functional view, the conceptual view, the realization view, and on it goes. So how do you choose from among those competing sets of advice? Well, we think that you ought to choose the views that are appropriate for your use, appropriate for each situation. Which ones are those? Well, it depends on 2 things. First of all, it depends on the structures that are inherent in the software architecture that you're building. For instance, if you're building a system that's going to run on a uniprocessor machine, then the deployment view of such a system is not very interesting because all the software is going to run on the same box. And so that's a view we probably would say you shouldn't spend much time on it, if any. On the other hand, if you're going to build a layered system, that's a structure that probably carries a lot of quality attributes with it and gives great insight into the system, and we'd probably say that's a really good view to show of the system. The second thing to consider when you're figuring out what views to include in your documentation package is who the stakeholders are for the views and what they're going to use them for. It's important to say that views are not just a thing to be written down. The views of a software architecture are things to be engineered. Each view typically brings with it one or more quality attributes, such as performance or modifiability. And by engineering the view, you achieve those quality attributes. And then the documentation of those views shows how those quality attributes were achieved. And so the stakeholders for the views are important as well. You might have management as a stakeholder who wants to know, be able to track progress and be able to chart development time. You might want to have a performance analyst as a stakeholder for a view, who will be able to see if your system's going to meet its deadlines. These different stakeholders have different concerns, and we want to document the views reflecting the structures that are in the system that will help these stakeholders do their job. So how does an architect sort out the views to choose from? Which ones are available? Dozens and dozens have been defined in the literature, and in fact, IEEE 1471 talks about creating your own at whim based on stakeholder needs and their concerns. So how do we know? Well, we think that a way to organize the available views, sort of put them into categories, would really help the architect choose. And we think there are 3 basic categories, and they reflect the 3 ways that an architect must consider the system that's being built. First of all, the architect needs to consider how the system is structured as a set of implementation units. These are things that people need to go off and build, or go to the market and buy and bring back to the integration table. These are units of implementation. We call these modules. The second way an architect must consider a system is how it is structured as a set of elements that have runtime behavior and interactions. What does the system do at runtime, and what are the pieces involved in making it do those things? We call these pieces components and connectors to distinguish them from modules. And finally, there's a third way an architect needs to think about the system, and that is how does it relate to non-software structures in its environment, its execution environment, its development environment, and so forth. And we call these allocation views. And so we've just defined 3 names then to stand for these 3 categories of views. We talk about module views, in which we represent units of implementation. We talk about component and connector views, which we represent units of runtime behavior and execution. And we talk about allocation views that shows how the software relates to structures in the software's environment. These 3 categories are more than just sort of an academic nicety, that is, to be able to map everything into one of 3 labels. We found them actually very practical and very helpful. When you look at a diagram that's been drawn of an architecture, many times we've observed that the most confusing diagrams are the ones that unintentionally or haphazardly blur these concerns. The diagrams that are hardest to understand are the ones that really combine haphazardly module information with, say, component connector information, or module information with deployment information. If you're not careful how you combine information like that, the diagrams tend to get very blurry, and we found this 3-way categorization to be priceless in terms of helping us tease apart these blurry diagrams that we often see in practice. Now, of course, most systems in the world are heterogeneous. That is, they exhibit many of these views all at once. That's fine. But it still helps to show the fundamental basic views of which they're composed. It helps us get intellectual control of the system. So now our job then becomes figuring out how to document a view and then figuring out how to document information that applies to more than one view. And we have templates for these. A template for a view consists, first of all, of a primary presentation. This is the picture. the box and line diagram usually. Many times the primary presentation is all you get. Architects show you pictures, boxes, lines, arrows, circles, and say, here's my architecture. But we'd like to assert very strongly that that's not enough and that those pictures need supporting documentation, and that's the rest of the template. The first thing it needs is an element catalog. Every element that's shown in the diagram needs to be explained. What its name is, what its responsibilities are, what its quality attributes are, whatever properties you need to explain about those elements. Just showing names in a picture doesn't really convey any information. We also like to see a context diagram in each view that shows how the part of the system that's being shown relates to its environment. We have room in our template for a variability guide showing how variations can be made in the architecture. A long section for rationale, capturing why we made the decisions that we made and what alternatives we might have explored that didn't turn into feasible options, dead ends if you were. It's important to write that down so we avoid time wasted in the future. We also have a template for documenting the information beyond views. The first thing we like to see in that section is a documentation roadmap. This is the first section that a reader should come visit. It tells how the documentation is arranged, it tells what views it contains, it tells if you're a particular stakeholder where you probably want to go and what concerns are addressed. It's basically the welcome mat put out for the reader. The second section is the view template that explains how we document views. We have system overviews, which people like to see. There's a mapping between views that's important. Although views are very helpful at separating concerns, it's only when we understand how they're related to each other that real insights into the system occur, and so there's a section for that. We have a directory, which is a great big index, an architecture glossary and acronym list. Probably the most widely read part of any architecture description is what all the acronyms stand for, at least that's true in the U.S. Department of Defense systems. And finally, another section for cross-view rationale. These templates are available on the SEI's website, and this is just a brief overview of our approach to documenting software architectures. In the course and in the book, we go through many more of these concepts in detail. We present some dozen different views that you might want to put in your architecture documentation that you can choose from, and we show how to document those. Layers, for example, or module decomposition, service-oriented architectural styles or aspect styles, and so forth. So if you are interested in more information, please visit our website, and I hope to talk to you again in the future. Thanks.